Well, good afternoon, Juno. Pat Moore, your host today for Juno Afternoon. We have a terrific lineup of guests to talk to today. Ati Nasia and Mark Calvert will drop in here in a couple of minutes to talk to us about placing the Choose Respect mural on the KTOO building. We'll get a preview of Sunday's concert by the Hot Club of Cowtown, and Tanya Cottigan from Caribou Crossing will bring Lisa McCormick in. She's the artist they're showing for the First Friday show. The City Museum will drop by to tell us what's coming up there, and Nancy DeCherney will give us our usual Thursday afternoon rundown on the arts. Weather looks like mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers, highs around 52. We're looking at northwest winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, we're looking at mostly cloudy and conditions much the same as they have been for the last several nights, with the lows around 35 and light winds.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Department of Energy confirms what some residents of the Wind River Reservation have feared for more than two decades: elevated levels of uranium in tap water. Wyoming Public Radio's Tristan Autone reports.
From 1958 to 1963, Susquehanna Western Inc. produced uranium yellow cake on the Wind River Reservation. When the mill closed, it left behind nearly 2 million cubic yards of uranium waste, and for almost 20 years that waste was left out in the open, where rainfall and snow melt drove contaminants into the ground and ultimately the area's water table. In the late 80s, the waste was finally removed, but since then residents have complained of increased rates of cancer, birth defects, and other health problems they blame on the area remaining contamination. Last night, at a public meeting in Riverton, the Department of Energy did not say that health problems in the area were linked to uranium contamination, but did confirm that uranium had been found in the tap water of four households. John Erickson is with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. He says he accompanied Department of Energy officials to the four residences where contamination was found.
So they have bottled water. We told them to continue drinking bottled water. Those wells will be resampled, and obviously there has to be confirmation of this. So those wells will be resampled tomorrow. And then a full crew is coming up next week to do every tap on that public water supply.
Erickson says the DOE is providing the bottled water and is treating the situation as a real threat. Approximately 40 people use the DOE's alternate water supply. Officials with the DOE refused to make a recorded statement about the situation. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The University of South Dakota is hosting a graduation ceremony to honor the school's Native American students. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Friday's event at the University of South Dakota's Munster University Center is hosted by the Native Student Services Organization. Graduates will wear traditional regalia, share a meal, and sing honor songs. Other cultural celebrating is scheduled as well. Dr. Linnell Noisy Hawk, a graduate of USD's Sanford School of Medicine, will address the graduates. She is Oglala Hunkpapa and a native of Fort Yates, North Dakota. Noisy Hawk returned to her hometown in 2007 and became a medical officer at the Indian Health Service Hospital. She currently serves as the clinical director and uses modern medical care and traditional Lakota healing ceremonies to improve the health of her patients. The ceremony honors the Native American students who will earn degrees the next day at USD's Dakota Dome. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
The Hopi tribe recently honored Hopi Code Talkers during the Arizona tribe's holiday for them. The Hopi Code Talkers used their language during World War II. They served in a group known as the Wildcat Division of the U.S. Army. Members also served in the U.S. Army Air Corps, what is now the U.S. Air Force. 10 men were presented with a bronze plaque to commemorate their wartime efforts. A second-hand store is giving ancient pottery to the Caddo tribe. According to the Associated Press, Goodwill Industries received the pottery as a donation in western New York. A note stuffed inside the pottery said it was found four decades ago in a burial mound in Oklahoma. The store realized it was old Indian pottery after posting a picture of it on its online auction site. During this week in 1887, Cherokee Council member Ned Christie was falsely accused of murdering a U.S. Marshal. Christie was never convicted in court for any crime. He was assassinated after a five-year standoff with the federal government. Several witnesses came forward clearing Christie of any wrongdoing, and he became a symbol of tribal sovereignty. Christie opposed railroad development through Indian Territory, which some believe may have contributed to his troubles. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Native Voice One, the Native American radio service.
It's 6 minutes after three. You're in tune with KTOO News. Pat Moore, your host today for Juno Afternoon. I have two guests in the studio who are going to tell us about an event which comes up tomorrow, or Friday afternoon at 4:30. Atia Nisia from Aware is here, along with Mark Calvert, who's also with Aware. Hi, folks.
Hi, hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So what's shaking? What's happening?
We are excited to celebrate the hanging of the Choose Respect community mural on the KTOO building. So we wanted to come down and invite the community to gather together with us and tell you a little bit about how the project came to be and the success of this great community event.
So how did the project come to be?
Mark, do you want to talk a little bit about Lead On?
Yeah. Well, this project came to fruition from something called Lead On for Peace and Equality in Alaska, and it's going on its fifth year now. It's this really incredible, inspiring weekend for teen leaders, for youth leaders from around the state of Alaska to meet in Anchorage and exchange ideas, take part in different workshops about peace and equality, about nonviolence, about healthy relationships, dealing with one another. It's a time for them all to network with one another, develop really strong friendships. It's a pretty beautiful weekend, and the culmination of this is that all of these youth leaders from their own communities, they come up and invent a community event for their own community and bring it back and implement it, and that's what this is.
So how many Juno students were attending last year's meeting?
Last year I think it was seven.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones who concocted
this project was from the group prior, actually, which we had 10 kids at that year's Lead On Mini Summit.
Now, when you say kids, these are like high school, junior, seniors?
Not kids. Excuse my language.
It's fine.
Yeah, they are teenagers.
And just really incredible people.
Right.
Incredible.
How did they get chosen? How does someone come on the thing?
Lead On exists through a partnership born out of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. And so teenagers and adults that care about the issue of preventing violence come together and plan the summit. And so there is a selection committee often made up of other teen leaders and adult mentors. And so really what youth and adults are looking for is leadership potential and the heart and inspiration to be a part of a social change movement and really transform their communities around issues of domestic violence, teen dating violence, sexual violence, healthy relationships. So teens that care about these issues that have the energy to really join us in the movement of creating social change.
So assume that there is a teen out there who meets that criterion. What would they then do to get into consideration?
So there is an application. We're probably a little bit early for this next Lead On. The next Lead On will be November 10th, 11th, and 12th. And applications can be found on AWARE's website, on the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault website, or the Stand Up Speak Up website. Also, we do recruitment through the school, so a student could ask their school counselor or health teacher for information or for an application. And so students complete an application and ask questions about what issues are important to them and how they serve their community or want to be a part of serving their community. And then the selection committee reviews and students are accepted.
So now, were either of you involved in the summit in 2010, I guess it was, when the mural came forth as a plan?
Yeah, I was one of a few adults that supported that project.
How did that develop?
So Juno teens, as part of the summit, have a planning session, planning sessions throughout the weekend. And the teens in Juno identified that often when we're looking at social justice issues, we're talking about the challenges or the ills of our community. And they felt very strongly that they wanted to promote what works in the community. And in fact, that Juno is filled with strong people that are doing incredible work and are already promoting respect, equality, and nonviolence. And so the group came up with this idea of interviewing community members, getting community members to share words or acts that they're doing to promote respect, as well as physically painting so that we could capture a mirror image or reflection of how wonderful this community is. And so through a number of community workshops and peer education presentations, the teens drew out the words of their community. And so on the mural, you can see images that reflect the community. There's downtown and a raven. There's the Douglas Bridge and a fishing boat, Eagle Crest and a person sort of sitting on a mountain. So these images of the community. And then if you look really closely at the mural, you can see people's actual words. I choose respect by setting boundaries. I communicate my needs. I help others. You know, words of the community around how they are promoting this message of choosing respect. So it's really beautiful and powerful. And then the teens identified that they wanted to work with a local artist. And so Sarah Conroe was contracted to support the project. And she had the brilliant skill and capacity to take the words and the ideas of the community and help make it beautiful. So mm-hmm. It's also something that's really nice to look at, which is great.
So now it'll be, it's hanging right now on the side of the KTOO building.
Yes.
And you can see it as you drive down the street that runs past the side out by the port. But you're actually looking for, we're here for the summer. Right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then sometime in what, September, October, you're going to be looking for a permanent home for this
exactly.
thing?
Exactly.
So do you have any ideas?
Well, the kids identified that the Nugget Mall could be a really neat place with a big empty, you know, some empty space. After this news article that came out, I had a number of community members calling with interest mm-hmm. Or with suggestions and ideas. So we've been dialoguing with different people, and we're really open to hear your ideas and to meet the needs. And we really just aspire to have this mural in a place where teens and adults can appreciate and celebrate with us a community that does choose respect.
How big a space is needed?
It's big. I mean, it's like 160 square feet. So there's four panels that are basically 5 by 8. And the panels can be the images. There's four main images that can either be posted together as one very large mural or could be placed separately in different locations. So we're really, we're open because this is Juno's project and came together because of committed, caring community members. So we want it to fit for Juno.
So in the minute or so we have left, assuming that someone has been just waiting for a 160-foot mural and thinking, that wall, how would they tell you that? How would you find out?
So anybody interested in the mural could call AWARE, our AWARE's prevention office, at 586-6610, or they could find us online and send us an email. Yeah.
Good. This event is at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon or Friday afternoon at KTOO. Meet in the parking lot. We'll toast it in bubbly cider.
Yeah.
And choose respect with the mural. Now, you have another event coming up?
We do.
Real quick.
Girls on the Run celebratory 5K is this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So we want to invite the community to celebrate the good work of girls, 10 o'clock at the covered play area right behind Riverbend. And it's a chance to honor girls that are working towards healthy body image, self-confidence, self-esteem, and making healthy life choices for the rest of their lives. So you can come run a 5K, volunteer, walk a 5K, or grab some cheer gear and just celebrate with us.
Okay, if you want to participate again, how do you let somebody know?
You could contact AWARE or you could show up at the covered area right behind Riverbend.
Okay, covered area behind Riverbend at what time?
10 o'clock.
On?
On Saturday.
Okay, yep. So Friday 4:30 out here in the parking lot, the mural dedication.
Yes.
And Saturday, again, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock for the activities, face painting, hairspray,
right.
11 o'clock for the run.
11
for the run.
For the run,
yeah.
Okay. Mark, any last comments?
I want to say if you want to see from where these kind of projects came from, you can go to standupspeakup.org and you can see some of the self-made social media YouTube videos that the kids have done on past Lead On weekends.
Excellent. Audie, Mark, thanks very much for coming down.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks a lot, Pat.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 3rd of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the man who wrote, "A prince never lacks legitimate reasons to break his promise." Niccolo Machiavelli, born in Florence, 1469. At a time when Italy was not a unified country, it was a collection of city-states, a time of instability, Machiavelli lost his job when the city government of Florence was overthrown by the Medici family, and he wrote his book, The Prince, in 1513 as an instruction manual on obtaining and holding on to power in hopes that he could impress the Medicis and get a job with them. He wrote that morality was irrelevant when it came to running a state, that rulers should be willing to do evil when necessary to hold on to power and maintain security. It's the birthday of the photographer and social reformer Jacob Riis, born in Ribe, Denmark, 1849, whose flash photographs of living conditions in the slums of New York helped bring about housing reforms. It's the birthday of the Israeli poet and novelist Yehuda Amichai, born Ludwig Pfeffer in Würzburg, Germany, 1924, moved to Palestine, became an Israeli citizen, and was one of the first poets to write in colloquial Hebrew. Here's a poem for today by Dana Gioia, Finding a Box of Family Letters. The dead say little in their letters they haven't said before. We find no secrets, and yet how different every sentence sounds, heard across the years. My father breaks my heart simply by being so young and handsome. He's half my age, with jet black hair. Look at him in his Navy uniform, grinning beside his dive bomber. Come back, Dad, I want to shout. He says he misses all of us, though I haven't yet been born. He writes from places I never knew he saw, and everyone he mentions now is dead. There is a large, long photograph curled like a diploma, a banquet 60 years ago. My parents sit uncomfortably among tables of dark-suited strangers. The mildewed paper reeks of regret. I wonder what song the band was playing just out of frame as the photographer arranged your smiles. A waltz, a foxtrot, get out there on the floor and dance, you don't have forever. What does it cost to send a postcard to the underworld? I'll buy a penny stamp from World War II and mail it downtown at the old post office just as the courthouse clock strikes 12. Surely the ghost of some postal worker still makes his nightly rounds, his routine too tedious for him to notice when it ended. He works so slowly, he moves back in time, carrying our dead letters to their lost addresses. It's silly to get sentimental. The dead have moved on, so should we. But isn't it equally simple-minded to miss the special expertise of the departed in clarifying our long-term plans? They never let us forget that the line between them and us is only temporary. Get out there and dance, the letters shout, adding, love always, can't wait to get home, and soon we will be. See you there. A poem by Dana Gioia, Finding a Box of Family Letters, from his collection Pity the Beautiful, published by Grey Wolf Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
About 20 minutes after 3 o'clock, you're in tune with KTOO News. Pat Moore, your host for Juno Afternoon. I have two lovely ladies in the studio with me, one of whom brought a bunch of her jewelry, which she makes by hand, from Kodiak and Lisa McCormick, and she's showing that in Tanya Cardigan's shop here in town, right?
Yes, that's correct, at Caribou Crossings.
Caribou Crossings.
It's Tanya Cardigan, but Cardigan, Cardigan works,
sorry,
too. That's okay.
Sorry. You're
sorry.
Wearing a Cardigan.
Yeah, fair
yeah,
enough.
Okay, all right. So the show is at tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon evening. So we're celebrating First Friday, so it's tomorrow from 4 to 8. But we're open tomorrow, so we're pleased by all means. We can share and show at any time during the day.
Now, in the shop setting, how do you arrange things so that her work is like the center of the...
The center of the universe.
Yeah.
You know, actually, her work is so interesting, exciting, and captivating. That part, it really is the easiest, easier than you think. So Lisa's worked all winter long to create this amazing, huge selection of jewelry that she's been more or less hoarding, if it's okay to say that, for the whole winter to bring right here to Juno to share with everybody here. So what I've done is I set up four displays, four big cases, so we can spread everybody out. But it's all unified together. So basically, right when you walk into the store, you can't miss it. And then what I do is Lisa works in so many different stones and really tells so many different stories with her jewelry. I try to group it by color or by stone or by story so that it makes sense to the people that come in to look at the pieces. Because when Lisa's making the jewelry, she's just literally hand-building, hand-fabricating one piece at a time and not necessarily thinking about a whole entire series as one unit. She just is making what she sort of is excited about that day. And it's my job to put it all together so it comes together and makes sense to people who come in.
Lisa, what materials do you use?
I use sterling silver, 18 and 14 karat gold, and a new metal for me is niobium, and many different gemstones and just organic stones and fossilized ivory.
Is niobium, what color is it? What
it's
it
many
like?
Different colors because I anodize it.
Ah, okay.
So it's sort of like a really hushed shades of blue and really serene shades of green and really rich, deep purples, almost a matted finish, if you can imagine that. I call it science metal because it's so interesting. They use it in NASA and all kinds of cool things like that.
How'd you find it?
I've had it in my collection for years and just finally brought it back out and was able to use some of my older tools that were hiding in my workshop.
And this is the first show that she's done with the niobium. So it's brand new to Juno. It's brand new even to the shop. And she's really incorporated the designs and the textures and the stories that many of us that have grown to love and adore and follow Lisa's work, along with those of you who've never been into Caribou Crossings or seen Lisa's work, will be pretty excited about the range of color that's in there. And that really kind of takes her work to a different level.
Okay. So the show opens, the shop is open all day tomorrow.
Open today, too.
Today, too. But the actual reception for the show is like 4 to 8 tomorrow night with First Friday.
First Friday at Caribou Crossings. We're located across the street from the tram, directly across the street downtown. There's a big, giant stuffed grizzly bear, sorry guys, that's out front, very Alaskan, and a coffee cart. I mean, that's how you'll know if you haven't been to our store. So we're across the street from the tram, Caribou Crossings.
Okay, good. Lisa, welcome to beautiful downtown Juno. I'm glad we could get some Kodiak-like weather for you here with the sun coming out and shining.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you among us, and I hope people will come by and appreciate your fine jewelry.
We do, too. Thank you for having us. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Good. Thank you. We're going to have a little music now by a group that's part of the Jazz and Classics in town. This is Hot Club of Cowtown. Music by Hot Club of Cowtown. We'll be talking to them in just a few minutes here. They were interviewed, Jeff Brown interviewed them this morning by telephone, and we'll have that interview coming up in just a second. But right now, we have two people from the City Museum, one an exhibitor who is going to be showing a special show. Avril Valise is with us here, and also Addison Field, who's the curator of collection and exhibits over at the City Museum, to tell us about upcoming events. Hi, folks.
Hi.
So, what's happening?
Lots happening at the Juno Douglas City Museum this time of year. To begin with, we have two exhibits opening on Friday, and that's one of the reasons why Avril is here with me. She's our solo artist for the summer, and she's got a show that's going up in the little gallery there.
So tell us about the show.
So this is a continuation of my 2D animated film proposal, A Klondike Tale, and this time I'm looking at it from a Juno perspective. The story takes place up in Skagway, but for this show I wanted to use Juno as my backdrop, as my set for where potential storylines could happen, and for this I took a step back from my script and I wanted to let my artwork speak for itself to be able to drive the story.
So what we're going to see is the panels that you've drawn for that will eventually become cells in the animation?
That is correct. And for this show, I decided to focus on the background. So what people have seen from me before, I've had a lot of characters, and this one in particular is not as character heavy, and it's more background focused, more like a set design.
Now, I think people may have an image of how animated film works that doesn't maybe go back as far as when this kind of animation was the standard in the industry, because now they have a lot of people who are hired to do fill-in drawings and everything smooth and like that. You're drawing each scene, right?
That is correct. And each of these is a different set design of possible location sites that could take place over the course of the film. So some of these backgrounds in a film production might be used multiple times.
So, and these are framed pictures that you walk through and look at them?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. All right. And so what else is part of the show or part of the opening? What's the other opening?
Well, the other show opening this weekend is Sidney Lawrence, Reflections of the Great Northwest, and that is an exhibit put together by the Juno Douglas City Museum, and that focuses on Sidney Lawrence and his connections to Juno. A lot of people don't know it, but Sidney Lawrence had strong connections to the Juno community. He's known primarily as the man who painted McKinley. But for many years, on his way north, every spring he'd stop in Juno, and he had a very lucrative business relationship with Bell Goldstein Simpson, who ran the Nugget Shop, an early curio and other sort of shop. And we talk a little bit about that in the exhibit, as well as show some artwork of specific Juno locations. So there's 13 original Lawrence works in it, and it's a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun putting it together, and I think that people are going to be excited to see some of the local scenery in the Sidney Lawrences that are on display.
I don't think I've ever seen a Sidney Lawrence set in Southeast Alaska. That's fascinating.
Right. There are several that are set in and around Southeast Alaska, and then several that are right in Juneau, including one of downtown Juneau, and then one from the Dodson Homestead, which is out, which was out near the Amalga Turnoff, and then there's several of the Eagle Beach area as well that are in the show. So it's got a real local pull and very nice show.
Avril, have you seen these?
I have. They're very beautiful.
Yeah. He's an amazing, has a wonderful way of capturing the heart of something, I think. When you see his art, when you see his paintings, you kind of, that's that place. And it's not like a photograph. It's like catching the feel somehow.
And I believe so. And I never would have thought that Sidney Lawrence and my exhibits would make sense to put next to each other, but I think a continuing theme I can see, and I'm not sure if it's intended, but is the issue of contact. And it's an issue that I address directly in my artwork, and I'm not sure if Sidney Lawrence is documenting the events as he sees it or if he's pushing a political message as well, but there's definitely some imagery where you can see that moment of contact happening within his paintings. And so for me, that is an incredibly fascinating dialogue.
Contact with?
With Westerners and Tlingits.
Ah, okay, I see. So the
colonialism.
And is there some of that in your piece as well?
That is the essence of my artwork.
Okay. Okay. Well, what else can we expect to see when we wander into the museum?
Well, there's a lot going on at the Juneau Douglas City Museum this time of year, including our Juneau Workshop Series, which starts next week. And that's a series of workshops about Juneau art, history, culture, and wildlife. And on Tuesday, we have a session called Juneau History 101. And on Wednesday, the session is... On Wednesday, the session is with local wildlife expert Riley Woodford. And then on Thursday, we have an interesting session on contemporary expressions of Tlingit, traditional Tlingit culture with Lina Bilardi. So if you're interested in attending any of those workshops, whether you're a visiting tour guide or someone who just wants to learn a little bit more about your community, please go to the Juneau Douglas City Museum's website and you can find more information there. So we've got those going on next week. We've got our walking tours have started up again. So those are also on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1:30. We've got a new route this year, and that route includes a visit to the Russian Orthodox Church and ends with refreshments at the Capitol B&B. And that's going very well. Seems like people are having a lot of fun on that. And then also we've changed our hours this year. So at the moment, in May and June, the museum is going to be open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So that's a little bit different than it's been in the past. So we just wanted to make sure folks know about that.
How do incoming tourists off of the boats find the City Museum? Are they guided toward it, or is there some way that we get them there?
wayfinding signs around town, and I think that brings a lot of people up. There's a lot of press goes out, and a lot of writers come into town, we try and get them up to the museum and to all the cultural institutions around town, so that they can spread the word. But there's also a large cross section of visitors who are looking for something cultural, and we try and offer a cultural activity that's based on Juneau art, history, and culture, and that's why we like to bring in artists like Avril to for extended shows, and why we do shows on someone like Sidney Lawrence.
Avril, how long will your stuff be up?
Till September 29th.
Okay, so lots of opportunities for all of us to see it. But
lots of opportunities.
The grand opening is tomorrow.
Yes, from 4:30 to 7.
Okay. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were going to say something else? Okay. All right. So 4:30 to 7 tomorrow at the City Museum. Addison Field is the curator of collections and exhibits. Avril Valise is there with her show, and on the wall adjacent to it is this wonderful Sidney Lawrence exhibit of Southeast Alaska paintings.
Two great exhibits of Juneau.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing this with us, and I hope people will take advantage of it.
Oh, hi again, Mr. Chicken.
What?
I heard you were wondering about Juneau Chicken Summit 2012, Saturday, May 5th, Klucko de Mile. It will be a great day for chicken enthusiasts with lectures and workshops followed by Juneau's first tour de coop, where we will see firsthand how people successfully raise chickens in Juneau. It's going to be a bunch of fun and a great way to meet other folks who love raising chickens. Tell your flock to call the UAF Cooperative Extension Service at 796-6221.
Earlier this morning, Jeff Brown had a chance to talk with the Cowtown Club of the Hot Club of Cowtown, artists who are coming into town for the Jazz and Classics. Here you go.
I'm on the phone with Alana James, one of the members of the Hot Club of Cowtown, who's going to be in concert this Sunday, May 6th at 7:30 at the Hope Hall, and also Monday, May 8th at noon at the Seattle Spilling Atrium, doing a free band by concert. Alana James plays fiddle and vocals, Whit Smith plays guitar and vocals, and Jake Irwin plays bass and vocals. Lana, thank you very much for being on the station with me today.
Thanks, Jeff. My pleasure.
So you're spiritually connected to Django Reinhardt and Bob Wills. What musically connects these two styles for you, technically and emotionally?
Oh, that's a good opener question. Well, the instrumentation, for one thing, is actually the same. I'm a fiddle player. Our band has fiddle, guitar, and bass, and the music of both of those guys, it was happening simultaneously on both sides of the Atlantic, and, you know, that both styles involved, like, hot, inspired soloing over swing, you know, swing rhythm, and Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli were doing a more pure, hot jazz version in Paris in, like, the late 30s and early 40s, and Bob Wills was doing the same thing, but he was doing it with triple fiddles and playing for people who were, you know, doing these dances in the southwestern part of the United States. So they all have in common a soulful, just a soulful style. The music is very elegant, and it's a social kind of music, and it brings people joy. I think there's something about swing rhythm that people just respond to, and it's as if people remember that, even if they may never have heard it before. So I love it. I've devoted my career so far to playing this kind of music almost exclusively for the last 15 years, so it feeds me. I figure if I like it, people like it too.
You and Whit met in New York in 1994. You played for Tips in San Diego, and then you teamed up with Jake to form the Hot Club of Cowtown in the year 2000. Musically, what brought you to where you are today?
Well, the three of us like to play together, and we love to tour. And the idea that three people can find each other who love the same style of music and also love performing live and traveling together, those are very rare things to get all under one roof. So I think we have stuck together for the most part because we all get the same sort of joyous satisfaction out of playing, and it gives us a chance to come up to places like Alaska, honestly.
How did you start playing swing music back when?
Well, I grew up, you know, listening to it. I always remember loving the music from, like, Woody Allen movies. I always loved fiddle tunes, and I always loved folk music and gypsy music and, like, Indian music. And as I grew up, I was playing classical music, but after college, I started allowing my interest in these other styles, especially folk styles, to I allowed myself to follow them, and I started to really start to hear swing music, like early swing when strings were still used, like when violin was used as a swing instrument. I started to listen to that in 1994, and immediately it just started taking over my life because I had everything I ever really wanted in to be able to do with my playing, you know, to play this dance music, happy, beautiful, elegant melodies for people, you know, in a more folk-like setting, didn't have the formality of classical music, and it's very European. I've always loved gypsy culture and stuff like that. So they're all interrelated, you know, and in Western music, the pastoral element of the kind of idea about songs about the land and about horses and traveling, those are all things that have a huge appeal to me.
Could you tell me a little bit about Whit and Jake's musical background?
Yeah, Whit grew up, he's from the Northeast, he grew up in Connecticut and Cape Cod, and he and I met in New York City, but he's a, you know, he used to play, like, rock and roll, and then he discovered country music and early jazz sometime in his late 20s or mid-20s, and that's shortly before he and I met, so he was kind of headed down that path, and, you know, he's just very interested in, like, he loves old jazz, he loves Argentinian jazz, he's very into, like, some of the more obscure American guitar players like George Barnes, people who may not have, like, Thumbs Carlyle, people who are maybe more esoteric but were hugely influential to other people. So he's a guy who loves to practice and he loves to do his homework. Jake is mostly self-taught, but he's a spectacular slap bass player, and it's incredible. He's from Oklahoma, but what he's able to do musically, he's got an incredible ear, and he's a really charismatic performer, and all of his sort of gifts as an entertainer put together, he's a spectacular performer. So you kind of have to see him to believe him, but between the three of us, somehow our musical styles have just coalesced into this thing that's greater than the sum of its parts.
You mentioned the slap bass.
The style is just like you would have heard with Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli, Louis Bula, who was playing back in those days. Some of the songs of bass will walk, sometimes they'll do pizzicato, and sometimes they'll slap. So Jake does all those things. But slap bass is his style. Some people associate it more with rockabilly or early country, and there is some of that, but you do hear it a lot in gypsy music and early jazz, too. So he's a master of that style.
You were a guest artist for the 30th Annual Alaska Folk Festival in 2004, and people still talk about the performances as being an incredible crowd pleaser. You must enjoy performing a lot.
We do. We love it, but we really love coming up to Juneau. Seriously, we can't wait.
Since then, you've played in shows with Bob Dylan, Travel the World, Has music around the globe affected your music at all?
Sure. I mean, whenever we go travel, the State Department sends us off to these different countries occasionally to sort of represent the United States as musical ambassadors. And I think what it does is underline how very exotic the music that we play is, because it's the American equivalent of if you go to central, you know, Azerbaijan and you hear people playing folk melodies in the village square. That is essentially what we do, only we're doing it from, you know, the American tradition. So it reinforces, I think, our pride and interest in continuing this line of, a great American tradition, really.
What can we expect to hear on Sunday night at 7:30 at the Hope Hall?
It'll be a combination of what we feel like doing that night. We don't usually have set lists, but we're about to make a record of hot jazz stuff, an acoustic hot jazz record. So we'll probably do a lot of early hot jazz standards. We'll do Western swing tunes, and we write a lot of our own songs, so we'll do lots of stuff in that style. We do things that I sing and write, and Whit will sing, and a lot of times we do three-part harmony, you know, ballads. We do fiery, crazy gypsy tunes, so I don't think you'll be disappointed. We won't be. It'll be great.
Sounds like a fun show already.
Yeah.
I've been talking to Alana James. Whit Smith and Jake Irwin are also members of the band. They'll be performing Sunday night at 7:30 at Hope Hall. It's former A and B Hall in beautiful downtown Juneau. Alana, thank you very much for being on the air with me today. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Oh, Jeff, thank you. I don't know. We'll hope to see you all around town. We're going to get in a day early so we have a chance to take in the beauty of the site. So we'll see y'all around in Juneau on Saturday.
All right, nice talking to you.
Thanks so much. See you soon.
All right, thanks so much.
Great. All right, I'm sure we're going to get in.
Lazy.
No, sir.
The devil ain't lazy.
No,
sir. Running around with sticks and stones, passes out his moans and groans. The devil ain't no lazy bones, he works 24 hours a day. The devil ain't lazy.
No, sir.
The devil ain't lazy.
No,
sir. He likes to see us fight and fuss, makes us mean enough to cuss. Then he blames it all on us, he works 24 hours a day. He travels like a lightning streak and strikes from town to town. If he gets you when you're weak, he'll tear your playhouse down. The devil ain't lazy.
No, sirree.
The devil ain't lazy.
No, sirree.
He tells us he won't hurt a fly, then he makes us steal and lie. Keeps us sinning till we die. Works 24 hours a day. All right.
Club of Cowtown, Devil Ain't Lazy, opening Sunday as part of the Jazz and Classics. Take a look at the Jazz and Classics website to find all of the different artists that are being brought into town. In just a second, Nancy DeCherney will be coming in to tell us about Arts Up. We just got an updated weather forecast. Thought you might like to know that the forecast for tonight is mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers. We'll have patchy frost in the outlying areas late. And the lows should be between 32 and 38. Variable winds about 10 miles per hour, becoming light in the evening, and then Friday rain showers are likely. Friday night, rain is likely. Saturday, rain. Does that sound familiar? Rain is likely. Saturday night, rain is likely. Sunday afternoon, rain is likely. So it looks like rain is likely for the next couple, 3 days, and the lows will be on, hopefully a little warmer than tonight, around 38, and the upper temperatures, the high temperatures will probably be in the somewhere in the 50s. So, typical Juneau weekend.
Yeah, it's spring, you know.
So tell us what we're going to do in the middle of this rain likely
thing. In this
thing.
Wintery sort of thing. You know,
yeah.
If it was later, I would be happy to see the fresh snow on the mountain, but not this month. Okay, well, this is your last day to vote for the Thunder Mountain Van shoes, and if you haven't even looked at them, you should. They're fabulous. Go online, vote for Thunder Mountain. They're in number 4. So we could move it up here.
Okay,
okay, very good. Today the summer season begins. I think I was, as I was crossing, look, there goes a bus right now full of people.
Yes.
So here we are, docent training at the Alaska State Museum. You can sign up to help out with all of that and learn a lot about your own community at the same time. We've got several theater things happening. Hallelujah Girls, have you had them on?
I might have.
Okay.
No, not absolutely certain. We've been promoting it so much
okay.
that my brain is full of Hallelujah Girls.
But Hallelujah Girls is on at 7 o'clock at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Sounds hilarious. It will be running for 2 weekends, and there will be pie involved, so that's another incentive. Also,
is that throne pies or
nine
pies?
Southern pies, moon pies. Moon pies, yeah.
Right.
And also on Saturday is your only opportunity to see the Thunder Mountain High School written plays called Right On. They're doing that at 7:30, limited seating because they're doing it right on the stage, so that's a real fun one. And, of course, Big Souls opens this on Friday night. And I always tell people, and they never listen, you get a lot of time, several weekends, and then they'll all go by because you go into jazz and classics and everything, and then suddenly it's gone.
Yeah. So
get your tickets and do it. Okay, so that's Thursday. Friday is First Friday, and officially the Juno Jazz and Classics bursts on the scene. First Friday openings, let's just do those. If you start over at the State Museum, they are doing a salute to the 70th anniversary of the Aleutian Campaign, the Alaskan Aleutian Campaign.
Great picture in this morning's paper of them towing a gun up the stairs into the theater.
Should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The title's great. When Over There Was Here.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I have a relative who served out on the Aleutian, and his description of the food was rather colorful.
It's a family show.
Yes, okay then. So you start at the Alaska State Museum, and then here you guys are having a party to celebrate the Choose Respect mural installation, and you're installing another set of
4:30.
Murals.
4:30. They were on the show earlier today and told us all about this. It was really a great story about a community activity that was dreamed up by teens at a leadership conference in Anchorage from Juno.
And
they brought
this beautiful. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I've been seeing them as I come. So 4:30.
Yeah.
Over at the Jack, we've got Light of a Clear Blue Morning with Elise Tomlinson. You go to the Jack and get your little flyers so you know everywhere to go. There's 28 different locations this week. So
Elise,
you're going to need
us,
the little flyers.
Yeah, Elise was with us Tuesday. It sounds like a fabulous show. Yeah.
We'll also have Charles Rohrbacher over there signing his new book, which is also beautiful. So if you've not seen that, do stop by. We have a new gallery. We have several new galleries, but we'll start with M.K. McNaughton's new gallery called Sketch, which is behind Kenny's Walkin' Teriyaki. There's a parking lot. Go in there. She's got a couple of different artists in with her. The show is called The Subtext of Being Good. Looks like it's going to be fabulous. Then toddle on up the hill to the City Museum. They've got.
They were here just moments ago.
Okay, so never mind them.
Oh, well. Great show, Sidney Lawrence paintings.
And also Avril Veliz's Klondike Tale.
Yeah.
So, and then wander over to the Canvas on Seward Street. Labor of Love, the Reach staff is showing in the gallery this year or this month. Down at the Rookery, it is the Juno Douglas and Thunder Mountain High School student art exhibit. There's a grand opening of Pat Race's new store, Alaska Robotics Gallery, on Front Street. It's right sort of next to the general store. It's where Choco's used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be having graphic novels and all sorts of fun stuff. So great opening there. Rob Royce, Colleen Goldrich are at Annie Kale's. You go across the street. Let's see, there's going to be an opening, a new store called Kaiten, I believe. That's,
Kaiten,
and it's right next to I can't remember the name of the building. I didn't write it down, and they didn't tell me their artists. But anyway, they're opening, too. So several things to do on Front Street, then toddle around to behind the Paradise Cafe. There used to be a store there, and it's opening again called Adorn. They have clothing designs by Bridget Milligan. They have pottery. It's Bridget, Danny Byers, Deb Gregoire, Amy Fletcher, and Louise Kunstada are opening this store. Mm. It should be fabulous. Caribou Crossings, all the way down at the end there by the tram, is going to be open.
And just came in earlier today. They're bringing Lisa McCormick in from, she's here in town, is already from Kodiak. So, with her jewelry.
And she has beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. Then the brewing company is featuring their summer ale and making lemon shandies, and they have live music by Mark Hurd. Next door at the Fairweather Gallery, they've got new work by Stephen Evans. Cam Burns is featured at the Juno Artist Gallery. The Figments is having 8-Bit Empire. The Wilderness Peaks is open this Friday night with Daniel Buskett. Has some new travel photography. He just did a trip on the Alsac, so stop in there. Choco is open with a new line of clothing. The Doll Museum is open. Franklin Street has Constance Baltuck's show about her time, I think, at the Kobuk. And then at 6 o'clock, there's the first Lego League Corporate Challenge. Okay, then. Legos for adults.
Legos for adults.
Yeah, and you can put together a team and go up there and compete if you like. They're also having a wine tasting at the Baranoff. So
that's not part of the Lego challenge.
Well, I don't know. Might make it seem something different.
Make a robot wine tasting. Right?
Yeah, at 6:30 there is the Relay for Life wine tasting out at Marlantini's, I think. Is that leftover from last week's thing? Who knows? Hallelujah Girls Again and Bigfoot, and of course Taj Mahal.
Sold out
has been sold out for a while.
Gonna go SRO,
but they are going to do a wait list at the door, and they will get as many people in as they can. And I've never had a show sold out that we didn't get everybody in, but there's been a lot of people coming. But don't give up hope. Go there and try.
And now, there is, where is that?
Centennial Hall.
Centennial, okay.
Yeah, and they'll start the wait list at 7 o'clock, and you must be present to win. So
okay.
Be there or don't. Saturday is Juno Appreciation Day. The weather sounds like we're going to really appreciate it a whole lot.
Rain likely. Highs around 49. Southeast winds 10 miles per hour.
Now, if you've been interested in having a backyard chicken, and who hasn't?
Who hasn't? I mean, yes.
They're doing Clucko de Mayo out at,
sorry,
at the Cooperative Extension Service. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. They have a variety of presentations on how to have chickens in your backyard, and it concludes with a chicken barbecue at 5.
Yes. Which, by the way, the proceeds from that are going to support 4-H programs, that chicken barbecue. Lunch is included in
lunch
the fee for that. I don't know. Probably so.
Anyway, so a Clucko de Mayo should be lots of fun out on the campus. Girls on the Run 5K, this is an AWARE event. That's at the Riverbend covered area. That starts at 10. The Barney McClure Cabaret workshops begin at 1 o'clock at the Jack. He is fabulous. If you've been sort of a shower singer for a long time and you really want to break out, and really, this is your opportunity. He will make a singer out of you. So get signed up for that. I Am Juno 2012. This is put on by the Juno Human Rights Commission, 1 o'clock over at Sandy Beach. It's a potluck. Bring something from your background or whatever and just go over there and enjoy the fabulous Juno weather.
Okay, so once again, we're on Saturday still, right?
This is Saturday.
Okay,
Juno
good.
Appreciation
right.
Day, yeah.
Okay.
Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock, you can hear the 22nd annual Full Circle Music Recital. They are performing at Aldersgate Church. It's amazing to me that it's 22 years. I can't believe it. But that's at 3 o'clock, both Saturday and Sunday. There's also a swing guitar workshop with Whit Smith at the Hot Club of Cowtown, and we were just listening to him. That's free, and it's at the Canvas, and that's at 3 o'clock on Saturday also. Saturday is the Strings at the Shrine. There's a 4 o'clock show and a 6:30. They were very close to selling out, so if you're thinking about that one, you better get on the hook there. And
it's
see
the Avalon String Quartet.
Yeah, it should be beautiful. It was certainly last year. 5 p.m. is the Spring into Summer, the Juno Family Health Fundraiser at Salmon Creek there. It's $20. You can get tickets from any of those board members. They're doing swing dancing at the Rookery at 6 p.m. At 7:30 is the Write On that I was telling you about, the Thunder Mountain High School. Kids have written these plays. And let's see, Sunday's Lemonade Day. Did you talk about that?
No, not
okay.
At all.
Well, this is an entrepreneurial.
I read about this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For to help.
Jeff
kids.
May have interviewed somebody when I wasn't here. Yeah.
I don't know. It's then at 11 o'clock. It's classics and cappuccino with the Avalon String Quartet at the Franklin Street Heritage. Seems like a real nice mm-hmm. Sunday morning thing to do. That's free. On, so go
what time
that.
Is that again?
It's at 11 in the morning,
11, okay.
Sunday. And at 2 p.m. is UAS graduation.
Yes.
So big day for a lot of people. There's a bell choir concert on Sunday at 7 p.m. at Resurrection Lutheran. And, of course, at 7:30, it's the Hat Club of Cowtown at what is now known as the Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall.
Ah.
How are we doing on time?
Well, I think we're just almost to the end of our time. So
Okay. Why
don't we stop with those events on Sunday night? Is there anything else on Sunday?
Well, let's see. No, but you should go to our website
Okay. Because
there's a ton of other things.
Absolutely. I agree totally. Okay. Nancy, thank you so much for
Thanks
keeping
for
us
having
all
me.
On track here, okay? Tomorrow on Jonah Afternoon, Jeff will bring in Katie Bowsler to tell us about the UAS commencement ceremonies we just heard about. The Mount Roberts Tram, new food and beverage manager Mark Collier will be here to talk about activities there. Father George Solides and Michael Lushkin from Holy Trinity Episcopal Church will be here with a preview of Saturday's presentation on end-of-life issues. And Jeff will be talking with some people involved with Right On, the evening of one-act plays that Nancy was highlighting that will be presented Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School. And, of course, you'll have Writer's Almanac, music, and more tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Juno Afternoon on KTOO News.
Well, I'm doing all right. Found me a cupid doll.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas, and KTOO is also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area. In the Valley and Auk Bay, we're on K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, it's 101.7 K269 AO. Gustavus listens to us on K201 AM at 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. And in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, we're on K210AS at 89.9.